Lead us now as we study the Word. Honor thy Word, honor the name of Jesus, and save the soul that's nearest hell for Christ's sake. Amen. In this day and age, when we talk about Israel, of whom are we speaking, and just what do we mean? Now, if you study your Bible from the time of Ezra, all exiles were referred to as Jews. Paul was a Jew, but he was also an Israelite. He was also a Roman, and in the letter to the Romans, he called all Israel Jews. In Romans, Paul referred to all Israel as Jews. Paul put the world in two classes. I told you yesterday, he said to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Romans 1:16. Then Paul asked the question, is he the God of the Jews only? And is he not also the God of the Gentiles? That's Romans 3:29. Paul puts all peoples in two classes, Jews and Gentiles, in this particular dispensation and in this particular age. Please notice the minister to the church and the apostle to the Gentiles puts all peoples in two classes, namely Jews and Gentiles. So, in chapter 11:2, he states that he was an Israelite, Paul. And in Acts 22:2, he says, I am a Jew. An Israelite and a Jew. In Acts 2:5, we read, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So, every nationality that was present, each person of every nationality on the day of Pentecost was referred to as a Jew. Jews, devout men out of every nation in heaven. But in verse 12, Peter declares, ye men of Israel, hear these words. So, beloved, the name Jew today covers the whole of the 12 tribes, because no Israelite alive today knows his genealogy, because the genealogies were destroyed by Titus in 70 AD when Jerusalem was burned. All of the Jewish and the genealogies of Israel were destroyed. And of course, today the 10 tribes are people, God knows who, God knows where. And when we talk about Jews, we're talking about the entire state of Israel, or the peoples of Israel, the entire 12 tribes. Now, when Jesus instructed the disciples in Matthew 15:24, he said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, how could Christ Jesus or his disciples go to people who were lost nationally? We have ministers today, and we have books today that cover America that tell us that the lost 10 tribes, that is the peoples known as the lost 10 tribes, are the English-speaking people, which of course is a Bible impossibility. And from the standpoint of common sense and reason, it is an impossibility, because the Jew and Israel have to do with a specific land, a specific city, specific laws and rituals from God Almighty, and Israel has always been a segregated nation, segregated and separated from all peoples known as the heathen. Now, in the day of Jesus, the Gentiles were referred to as dogs, and the gospel was sent first to the Jew by the 12 and then by the 70. And Jesus clearly instructed both groups to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he was not talking about lost nationally or as a nation, but spiritually lost. And of course, when we talk about Israel, we are referring to the Jew, to the 12 tribes, and the name Jew and Israel are certainly synonymous in this day so far as terms are concerned. So, the 12 tribes make up Israel, and we know Israel today as the Jew. Now, God made a covenant with these people, and everything in this Bible that needs to be fulfilled has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled under your very eyes today, and certainly the next gigantic event in store for this old world is the return of Jesus, the rapture of the church, and then, praise God, Jesus will set up the kingdom, and himself, Jesus, will sit on the throne. Now, in this year of our Lord, we are living in the darkest hour of human history. Just a moment. God made the earth for man, and God made the heavens for himself. Man has broken away from the earth. He has jumped over God's fence. God put a fence around this earth, gravity. And man spent millions, yea, billions, and there is no telling how many Russians were killed trying to enter outer space and re-enter Earth's atmosphere. There is no telling. God only knows how many Russians died trying to re-enter this Earth or go out into outer space before they successfully put a man in orbit. Now, I say God built a fence around this Earth, gravity. Man had to spend millions and lives to build a machine to jump God's fence and trespass into God's outer space. And Daniel said in the last days, many will run to and fro, knowledge will be increased. So they go together, knowledge, wisdom, built a machine to run out into outer space and then run back again. So this is the age when God told Daniel the book would be opened and these things would be revealed. And certainly man has just about gone his limit. He brags there is no God. He brags that he has probed outer space. The Russians laugh. The newspaper in my hometown carried a front page article that there is no God, the Russians say, because they didn't find him in outer space. And so we're living in the age when man is hurling insult after insult in the face of God. Watch the Jew, Israel, communism. Keep your eyes open. Read your newspapers. Listen to the newscast. And you can hear God's great time clock ticking away the seconds that are left in the dispensation of grace just before Jesus comes again. Now, Israel is God's time clock. And what God has said about Israel and to Israel has happened to the letter in every minute detail ever since God called Abraham. And since everything God said about the Jew, Israel, has happened in every minute detail, why shouldn't I expect everything connected with Israel to happen literally in the days that lie ahead before the consummation of all things? Now, I said a few days ago, well, I don't know, 3 days ago, I guess, that God provided individual redemption, Genesis 3:15, and God called out a man to be the head of a nation, and God promised to save that nation eventually. God will save Israel. All Israel shall be saved, according to Romans chapter 11. Now, when man had utterly failed God, God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees to go into Canaan, and God made him a promise in Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, and I read that promise, and I emphasized it. And then God said in Genesis 12, 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, in Genesis 11, 14, and 15, hear me now, Genesis 11, verses 14 and 15, after Lot left Abraham, and Lot chose the best of the land, and Lot cast his eyes toward the fertile valleys of Sodom, and he took the best from his uncle Abraham. The Lord God Jehovah said to Abram in Genesis 11, 14 and 15, lift up now thine eyes, speaking to Abraham, God speaking to Abraham, and look, from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, the land that Abraham saw covers an area of 300,000 square miles. And Palestine has never consisted of more than 30,000 or 10%, one-tenth of the land that God gave Abraham. Now, I want your undivided attention. May I have it? That promise is just as true and will come to pass just as truly and just as surely as Jesus saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, we know that Jesus was lifted up. And God said, Abraham, you look to the east, west, north, and south, and I'll give you this land, and I'll give it to your seed, your descendants, how long? Forever. Now listen, beloved, the nation Israel is a people set apart, elected, and predestined of God to possess a piece of ground they have never possessed, but they will possess after the rapture and when the Lord God Almighty turns this earth into one giant paradise, and we have the utopia and the peace that politicians have talked about and promised but have never provided and never will. Of course, communism is making the bold statement that they will bring in a utopia and all people will shall act, but that's a lie out of hell, hatched out by the devil, and certainly it's trying to make inroads and is making inroads upon the free peoples of earth. But, beloved, it's a lie. There will never be peace on earth and goodwill toward men until King Jesus sits on the throne in Jerusalem, and then we'll have that peace. Now, Jehovah God here is restating His promise declared to Abraham that the land is an everlasting possession. Later, the Lord God Almighty made a solemn covenant with Abraham and still further amplified the promise of the land to Abraham in Genesis 15:18. Listen, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now God said, Abraham, unto thy seed. In other words, Abraham, you'll never possess it, but your descendants will. Now, beloved, this Bible fits just like a jigsaw puzzle. What I mean by that, all Scripture is given by inspiration. The Holy Ghost dictated the Word of God to holy men. They penned it down, and it fits. Not one piece, not one verse, not one part of a verse is out of joint or out of place when we rightly divide the Word of God. Now God said, Abraham, lift up your eyes in Genesis 11. And He said, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And then in Genesis 15:18, He promises that Abraham's seed will possess the land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And as I said a moment ago, it consists of 300,000 square miles. Now, God states the promise as if it had already happened. And certainly, when God makes a promise, it is just as sure to happen as if it had already happened. Because God cannot lie. God will not lie. Now, we find in Numbers 23:19, the Word of God says, God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's in Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. So, the promise that God made to Abraham will be fulfilled to the letter. And then in 1 Samuel 15:29, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. And of course, the strength of Israel is Jehovah God. Jehovah called out Abraham. Abraham is the father of Israel, the beginner of Israel, the man through which the nation was born. And of course, through which the seed came. Now we read, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Then in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's Psalm 119:89. In Malachi we read, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. In other words, God said here, if it had not been for my promise, for my covenant to Abraham, the sons of Jacob would have been consumed. James tells us that Jehovah is the father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's James 1 and verse 17. These, beloved, that is, these scriptures tell us that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And so, why shouldn't I expect and why shouldn't I preach that God will keep his promise to faithful Abraham and fulfill every jot and every tittle of his promise to the seed of faithful Abraham? Now, in spite of the fact that God confirmed the covenant with an oath, yet because of the sin of Israel and because Israel rebelled against God, Jehovah said in Numbers 14:25, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Now that was fulfilled literally. God cut off that crowd. But in Numbers 14:16, the Lord was not able to bring this people into this land which he swear unto them because of sin. Deuteronomy 1:35, not one of them which I swear to give unto their fathers, not one of them of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land which I swear to give unto their fathers. Deuteronomy 1:35. Now then, I want you to listen to this in Genesis 22:16. By myself have I sworn. Now notice this, God speaking, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, Jehovah, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, said the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the sand that is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Genesis 22:16. Now, at a later date, when a famine arose in the land, God said to Isaac in Genesis 26:2-3, Genesis 26:2-3, go not down into Egypt, sojourn in this land, that is God's land, the promised land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Now, beloved, these scriptures that I have given to you prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will keep his covenant with Abraham. God cannot be untrue. God cannot lie. God cannot fail himself. And if God failed to give to the seed of Abraham the land that he promised, then of course God would be a liar, and the modernists and the liberals and the haters of God could prove this Bible untrue. But God said, I'll give you the land from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, Genesis 15:1-18. And God will give these people every inch that he promised them. Now one more verse, Deuteronomy 28:64-65. Deuteronomy 28:64-65. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even to the other, and among these nations shall thou find no ease. Now I think if you'll study the history of the Jew, you'll agree that this statement in Deuteronomy has been literally fulfilled in every minute detail to the letter. Deuteronomy 28:64-65. God said to the seed of Abraham, I'll scatter you among the people from one end of the earth to the other, and when you are among these nations, you'll find no ease. That is, you'll have no rest, no peace. And brother, that's as true as the sunrise in the morning. And that's just as true as it can possibly be. God scattered the seed of Abraham to every square mile of the universe, and they've never had peace until recently, when the United Nations in 1948 granted to the Jews the new state of Israel. And since that hour, they've been dwelling in their own land. And one day, they'll possess the 300,000 square miles that God promised Abraham. And that will happen many years after the rapture. And if that is at the door and right with us today, then how near the rapture of the church must be. Surely the rapture must be at hand. I'm expecting him this very moment. And if he doesn't come in this moment, I'll look for him in the next moment. If he doesn't come today, I'll look for him tomorrow, because I know he's coming, and I know everything in this Bible is fulfilled to the letter that points to the return of Jesus. Are you ready? Father, honor the word, honor the shed blood, and save the soul that's nearest hell. For Jesus' sake, amen.